Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A three-word truth, one little phrase got stuck in my heart this week, and I want to declare it from the Word for our comfort, and I pray that the Lord will really bless this to us. That three-word truth is in verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, God is able. God is able. We live in a false, lying, religious world today where people say that God is trying to do something. And they say that God is wanting to do something. But that's not so. That's wrong. That's not what God's Word says. God Almighty has never tried to do anything. God Almighty has never wanted to do anything. Think about that. He has never wanted to do anything. The word want in the Scripture means lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. If somebody wants to do something, it means he or she is not currently doing it. Wants to, but not doing it. There's a desire, but there's a lack in fulfilling that desire. And not one time has that ever been the case with our God. Not one time. Our God has never wanted to do anything. Job 42 says, I know thou canst do everything. Genesis 18 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Matthew 19 says, with God all things are possible. And in the Scripture saying that, it's not saying God will decide what He wants to do along the way. He will see how things go, and then however He wants to handle it, that's what He'll do. It's not saying that at all. Acts 15 says, known unto God were all His works from the beginning, everything He would do. Everything God has done, everything God is doing, everything that God will ever do. It was all finished and set in stone in the mind, will, and purpose of God before the foundation of this world. Everything. Everything. And that's why we know He is able to carry it all out. Everything that He has purposed to do, it was all set in stone before the foundation of the world. That's what faith causes a child of God to believe. God is able. That's when we talk about faith, that's what it is. That's what faith causes a child of God to believe. God is able because it was all set in stone before the foundation of the world. He's able. Romans 4 says, Abraham was strong in God-given faith. Faith is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. And it says, Abraham was strong in faith. How was he strong in faith? It says, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. There is nothing that I love better than hearing a man say, whatever God has said, that's what's going to be done. Period. That's what faith believes. Whatever God has promised, that's what's going to be done. He's able to perform it. Now, I want this to be a word of comfort for believers, but for a word of warning to this world of unbelievers, I want to show you, let me begin with showing you two scriptures, okay? Turn to Daniel 4. Daniel 4. We're learning these verses well. We've turned here a lot recently. That's a good thing. After Nebuchadnezzar was brought down, God brought him down because of the pride of his heart before God. That man had so much pride before God. After he was brought down, verse 34 says, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." That means he rules everything all the time. That's what it means. Verse 35, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." The Lord restored me. That's what he's saying. Verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride. He is able to abase." That's the first word of warning to every proud soul on this earth. Pride doesn't exist anywhere more greatly than in religion. Religion is the most proud thing this world has ever known. And that's the word of warning to this world. He is able to abase. He's able to abase. He said in Luke 18, "Everyone that exalteth himself to God, for God, yeah, God, look at me, look at what I've done, shall be abased." And he's able to do it. We live in such a proud world. Our Lord said, "Vengeance is mine and I will repay." And he's able to do it. That's the warning. He's able to do it. We need to humble ourselves. We need to bow to the sovereign authority of the one who's able. The only God that there is, Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Turn with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 27. Our Lord said, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Most people do not believe that God is going to punish sin by casting men and women into hell. That's a forgotten belief anymore. But we need to be warned. This world needs to be warned. We need to kiss the Son lest he be angry. We need to bow before him. We need to cry out for mercy. And if we do bow and if we do cry out for mercy, we need to have the comfort of knowing that we have received mercy. If we do cry out for mercy, we need the comfort of realizing that that's the evidence of receiving mercy. Only recipients of God's mercy kiss the Son. And when we say kiss the Son, we mean his feet. Only recipients of God's mercy do that. Only recipients of God's mercy bow the knee to Christ truly. Only God's true people humble themselves before Him. And if that's us, then this word now is to us. Okay, those were a couple of scriptures of warning to this unbelieving world. Here are some scriptures of comfort for God's people. I pray the Lord will really make this a comfort to us. Go to 2 Corinthians 9 again. Second Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Are you at all worried and fearful, wondering if you are going to be included in God's favor? Does anybody here ever worry about that? Do you ever wonder, am I going to be included in God's favor? Well, verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And I read that and I quote that to every person here. God's grace is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Yes, you. God is able to supply you with everything you need, spiritually and physically. Sometimes what we want is not what we need. You know that? Sometimes what we want is not what's best for us. Our God is going to give to us what's best for us. And He is able and He's willing to do that. He's able to give. He's able to give freely. I pray this word will increase our faith. I pray it'll increase our faith. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Look with me at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Not only can we, as His chosen people in Christ, expect great things from Him. You know, our Lord told that lunatic, "You go tell how great things the Lord has done for you." And can't we all say that? The Lord has done great things for us. Look at what He spared us from. Look at what He supplied us with. But not only can we expect great things from Him, for Christ's sake, we can expect exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, because He's able to do it. We have every reason to trust Him. We're going to go through this life and we're going to have all kinds of problems and all kinds of issues, all kinds of fears. You have anything you're afraid of? You have anything coming up that you're afraid of? Anything around the corner you're afraid of? We have every reason to trust Him. Every reason to trust His providence concerning us. Every outcome of every situation, every desire that we have for His glory, for our good. Let a believer live a little while and he or she will tell you from experience, He's able. He's able. Just let a believer live a little while, and he'll tell you, God is able. Wait on Him. Trust Him. Look to Him. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body." And what's amazing is he's able to do that. And I can't wait. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." That is what I want. Let me tell you what my desire is, and I mean this with all of my heart. All right? This is what I want. I want the Lord to subdue me, and I want the Lord to subdue you. My prayer and my blessing would be that God would subdue every soul in this building, every soul in this town. I pray that God would subdue men and women, boys and girls. Subdue means to bring to a willing submission to his authority. That's what it means. It doesn't just mean that he reigns over us and we're under him. He already does that. We already are. If he subdues us, it means he will bring us to a willing submission and a willing desire for his authority. Not only will he reign over us, we will cry, "Lord, please reign over us. Reign over me." Be of good cheer. He's able. He's able. I feel like I'm speaking things that are just above me. He's able. I wonder, do I even have the faith to say what I'm saying? He's able. He can take all those children in those classrooms back there and subdue every one of them. He's able. Lord, give me faith to believe that. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1 verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He is able to keep everything that his people have committed unto him against that day. What day? What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of judgment. What have God's people committed unto him against that day? Listen to this. See if you can enter into this. See if this will bless your heart. God's people have committed their sin to him. All my sin was committed to him. God's people have committed their condemnation to him. Do you know that I must suffer condemnation. Do you know that? Well, the good news is I did suffer condemnation on the cross of Calvary. God couldn't set me free. God couldn't let me go. God's people have committed all of their punishment to Him. All of my punishment was committed to Him. God's people have committed their death to Him. It is appointed unto man once to die. That's where I died. You say, well, you're still going to lay this body down one day. Yeah, but our Lord said He's not dead, He's sleeping. He that lives and believes in me will never die. That's where I died. Once, it's over. God's people have committed their resurrection to Him. I want to live. I want to rise from that death. I did in Him. He said, I am the resurrection. God's people have committed eternal life, all of their eternal life, to Him. Every bit of that is in His hands, and He's able. He's able to keep it for us. Go with me to Hebrews 2. I'm almost finished here. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Because He endured the very sufferings and the infirmities of His people. And that's so amazing to me to think about everything that I suffer from. All of these infirmities, all of these physical infirmities and all of these mental infirmities. Can you imagine what He suffered? Does anybody have any idea how bad I am? Does anybody have any idea how bad you are? Well, think about just how bad it would be if anybody here had to suffer all of the sin and infirmity of just everybody in this room. He endured all of the sufferings and all of the infirmities of all of His people, and that's why He's able to comfort me and you. He is so able to comfort us. He is able to sit right beside us, holding our hand, saying, "Fear not, I will help thee." Get in a place where you need some comfort. Just get in a place where you truly need some comfort and see. He's able. Get in a place where you're at the end of your rope. That's it. I got nowhere else to go. And then you, like Psalm 107, you know. And then they cry, finally, then they cry unto the Lord. And He's able. He's so able to comfort us. Look at Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, verse 24, it says, "But this man," speaking of Christ, "because He continueth forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Our Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost. You ever feel like you're at the uttermost? Like I'm so far out now. I'm just so far gone now. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save to the deepest, darkest. You know, we were there in Daniel 4 a minute ago. That's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. And they told Nebuchadnezzar, we are not going to bow down to your golden image because our God is able to deliver us. That's why we're not going to do it. It's because he is able to deliver us. And he did. He delivered them. And after he delivered them, they knew not only is he able, he's willing. That's a good thing to know. We know he's able. But after we pass through the fire, we also know he's willing. He's able and he's willing. And every saved child of God knows that same thing to be true from experience. He's willing and able to save to the uttermost, no matter how bad the condition is. Last one, Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude 1. I don't have a favorite. I almost said this one's my favorite, but I don't have a favorite, but I like this one a lot. Jude 1, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Try to tell a child of God that he or she had better watch it. You'd better watch it now, or you're going to lose your salvation. Try to tell a child of God, if you're not careful now, you're going to cause yourself to lose your salvation. That child of God will say, no, I won't. Thank God, no, I won't. Not if I'm in the hands of my Savior, I won't. I may not be able to keep myself. I can tell you this, I can't keep myself. I can't keep myself. I have probably 30 more seconds in this message. I can't keep myself till the end of the message. But he's able to keep me. And if he's the one keeping me, I'm going nowhere. I'm not going anywhere. If he holds me up, I will never fall. And if he keeps me, he will present me faultless before the presence of his glory. I cannot wait. This is a tough one to get a hold of. He is able to present, you know, these vile bodies that we just read about? He's able to present, by the time we get, he shows us, here they are, Father, everyone, not one of them is lost. Every soul standing there will be faultless. Faultless. Look at him. What do you see? The Father says, I see Christ. Faultless. He's able to keep us faultless, never to be defiled ever again. Never again. Verse 25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I pray that it'll be a comfort to our hearts.